And now, on a more reflective note, my friend, Benedictine Abbot Timothy Wright, explains that there are ways of listening to stories of the Bible that can bring encouragement, affirmation, and renew our sense of the vision of the future. I went to see Father Timothy just the other day as he was preparing for an intense summer of work in Benedictine communities across the globe, to which he travels every year. He said he'd like to talk to me about one of his favourite Bible stories, the story of the prophet Elijah, the second part of which we will listen to next week.
When a community faces criticism, a certain amount of anger among its members from outside, a deliberate attempt even to destabilize, even to destroy, the natural reaction is to become defensive, to propose counter-arguments, to point to history, to point to values, etc. That is not always the best way to react to criticism. Why? Because once you get into an argument, there always has to be a counter-argument, and so the battle goes on. And in a battle of words, there'll be no winners. Why? Simply because in a world with so many different points of view circulating, articulated, researched, there can't be any winners. So, what should we do? I would like to suggest that we need to take a deep breath and go into silence. We need to go into silence with our Bible and listen in our reading. Yes, there are ways of listening to the stories of the Bible which can bring encouragement, affirmation, and renew our sense of the vision for the future. Let me illustrate. Perhaps, for me, one of my favourites in the Bible is the story of the prophet Elijah, it just happens we've been reading during the Eucharist over the last few weeks. It's an astonishing story of a powerful king determined to get his own way with a very powerful wife, Ahab and Jezebel, for those of you who remember the story. And into this God's man, if I can call Elijah, is suddenly told that the only way God is going to bring sense to Ahab is if he proclaims drought. Well, that is a ridiculous thing to say, really, because when has any man ever been able to say to the clouds, stop raining? But that's precisely what Elijah did, on the orders of God, and so started a drought. Elijah was then asked by God to move out of what we now call the West Bank and cross over to the other side of the Jordan and hide in a cave on his own, where he was fed by birds bringing him some food. All sounds rather fanciful. But there was a stream near his cave, and he just had to go there. There was no question of how long he was going to stay there. He was no question of whether the next meal was going to arrive. There was no question of when is the stream going to dry up. He just went there. And then the stream did dry up, and he was sent off to a place called Zarephath. Now, this little story, up even so far, has presented us with a very important fundamental truth of faith. Ultimately, our world is created. That is, it came into being by the will of God. That is a foundation of Christian
faith. Therefore, Elijah's presence in the cave was a way of expressing that the situation in which he lived, he was in that situation, he was totally dependent on God. He didn't cultivate his own food. He didn't have any stores with him. He just was there in the cave. And what was going through his mind? The memory of God. Remembering that God, active and was aware and knew. So when the next phase happened, he was ready to respond. That moment in the cave was, if you like, step one in a retreat. Going somewhere to reflect on the fundamental. However career-orientated I am, however family-orientated I am, ultimately my life is in the hands of God. And ultimately, of course, I can manipulate it, I can take decisions, I can move it this way and move it that way. But there are a lot of things I can't control. Talk to anyone who was in the Haiti earthquake. So he then is asked to go towards a place called Sidon. And he meets up with this woman on the way. And what does he do? Can I have some food? He says, I'm starving. And the woman says to him, well, I haven't got any. I'm just collecting some sticks to light a fire in order to prepare a last meal for myself and my son. But Elijah persists. I will come and eat with you. And because that woman welcomed him, he was able to work the miracle of providing food. What was the transforming effect was not the demand of Elijah, but the innate sense of hospitality of that woman. And our second point of our reflection then is not only that everything depends on God, but if we really want to communicate God with each other, we have to be open to each other. And we have to learn, not just in our social meetings and our community living, but also in the silence of our retreat, that other people are important, that hospitality is a way of recognizing God in our neighbor, whoever that neighbor is.
You've been listening to Benedictine Abbot Timothy Wright, who will be bringing you the second part of that talk next Monday at the same time.